Corpus Christi is Latin for the body of Christ. And as a feast day, or rather solemnity, refers to the real presence of the Lord Jesus in Holy Communion. The origins date back to 1263 of this feast, when Father Peter of Prague stopped at the town of Bolsena, north of Rome, while he was on a pilgrimage to the Holy City. He was troubled by the apathy of many of the faithful, a lack of reverence at Mass, and doubts about the Holy Eucharist. The next day he celebrated Mass at the tomb of St. Christina, an early martyr of the Church. As soon as he said the words of consecration, the host began to bleed. Blood fell on his hands and upon the corporal on the altar. He was awestruck and began to weep. At first he was not sure what he should do and tried to hide the miracle before his eyes. Mass was interrupted, people became aware of what was happening, and the congregation too was overwhelmed. He asked to be taken to see Pope Urban IV, who was residing not so far away at the town of Orvieto. The Holy Father declared a miracle had occurred. He ordered the relics, the cloth that had been stained by the precious blood, to be brought to the cathedral there at Orvieto, which they then celebrated with much ceremony and procession. The Pope met these relics and placed them in that cathedral where they are still venerated today, and on this day are in procession around that city. Furthermore, Pope Urban wanted the world to know about this great miracle and therefore instituted this feast of Corpus Christi. He also commissioned St. Thomas Aquinas to compose a Mass and an office of liturgy for this feast of the Holy Eucharist. Aquinas composed the beautiful Eucharistic hymns that we still use today. Panis Angelicus, Pange Lingua, O Salutaris Hostia, the Tantum Ergo, the hymns we often sing at benediction. That event in history had profound ramifications on many people over vast centuries. It has inspired poets, artists, and musicians down through the ages. Take, for example, our hymn this morning, the Ave Verum, which we shall listen to. It's a hymn composed in the 14th century in thanksgiving for Holy Communion, sometimes ascribed to Pope Innocent IV. It's truly a haunting hymn. It's only a few words, and these are the words: Ave Verum Corpus Natum, De Maria Virgine, Veri Passum Immolatum, In Cruce Pro Homine, Quis Latus Perforatum, Flux Acque et Sanguine, Es Nobis Pe Gustatum Immortis Examine. It rhymes beautifully in the Latin, and the English is, Hail true body, born of the Virgin Mary, who truly suffered, sacrificed on the cross for man, whose pierced side overflowed with water and blood. Be for us a foretaste in the test of death. Did not Jesus say, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you shall not have life in you? When he said those words, it's recorded and written down in the Greek, the word chosen for life in you is zoe, meaning spiritual life or supernatural life. No wonder then that Catholics seek to receive this spiritual life in Holy Communion, in the last rites, Viaticum, which bring the foretaste of heaven and a promise of immortality to those who are dying. This great sacrament of our salvation, the sacrament of the Eucharist, has not just inspired great hymns, but also great music. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, 6 months before his death, and while his wife was pregnant with their sixth child, wrote the music, the motet for the Ave Verum, which we'll listen to today. Furthermore, in the 16th century, Pope Julius commissioned the famous artist Raphael to paint the wall, one of the walls in the Vatican Palace, which is now called the Stanza Raffaele, with an explanation of this great miracle, this great event of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Corpus Christi is truly an epic moment in the Church's calendar. Cities in the world are named after it, such as in Texas, Corpus Christi. Today, people throughout the world, Sydney, Canberra, Rome, are in procession. They carry the good Lord, the presence of Christ, in their midst among God's people. Why? So that we, in body and soul, worship the one true God, who came down from heaven to earth to be with us. Today we want to walk with him, to manifest his presence to all the world. We need to do this. We need to worship him, to process with him. And the world has become sceptical and cynical. Tragically, today there's a lack of belief in the real presence. And I think for three simple reasons. One is the general indifference to religion and the spiritual world in which we live. We're living in a very secular culture. A culture that says there's nothing spiritual, there's nothing called grace, it doesn't exist. Angels, heaven, these realities, we can't feel them, touch them, taste them, therefore they are not real. Secondly, for the last 40 years we've had a lack of sound catechesis. People don't fully understand the sacrament of the Eucharist. Many think it's just mere bread or holy bread. They fail to perceive the reality of Christ's body and blood in their midst, hidden under the appearance of the bread. And thirdly, we're living in an age where people lack reverence to the Blessed Sacrament. It's now standard, common, that people talk in church as if it's merely a hall, ignoring God's presence in the tabernacle. The manner of reception of Holy Communion for many is indifferent. There's little regard with regards bodily posture, how they manifest their worship and respect for him. We pray that on this day we might renew ourselves, our devotion to him. We might foster a love for him. We might visit him often, present in the tabernacle, and if possible, go in procession on this day, so that the love we have for him, the truth that we profess about him, is made always manifest in our lives and in this, our parish. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.